In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good evening. Afternoon, same thing, right? Buenas tardes. Say it that way. So we thank God for this opportunity to come together this day. There's something within the gospel that hits on what we're doing. So to think about that as we go through, that Saint Abraham was there in his tent, and it was really, really hot outside. And so if you're feeling even a little bit hot, no matter how much our air conditioner is working here, know that St. Abraham was having it a lot worse, and still he jumped to the service of God. Today, I just want to remind you of all the great things that our Catholic daughters are doing today. Is there a corporate mass? Is that what it's called? Is there corporate mass? And it's good to see you all in your purples today instead of in your whites. It's good to see all those great costumes that you have. If anybody would like to find out more about what the Catholic daughters do for us here in our parish, and they're just beginning, we celebrated just last week or so, wasn't it, our year anniversary? Yeah. Oh, it's in September, officially in September. Okay, it's officially what it is. But they've been operating, working on things for much longer than that already. So if you'd like to know more, we will be having a 50-50 raffle. I believe it's the end of the month on the 31st, the Feast of St. Ignatius of Loyola. And we'll be having that. You can find out more information from them if you're interested in that. And they'll be having a Frito Pie fundraiser on the same day from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. But remember, if you do get it at 11 a.m., we still have to keep the 1 hour fast for Mass at 1 o'clock to be able to do so. See what our Lord has for us. Oh, forget to mention to you that one of our sisters lost her father the other day. Mickey lost her father, Frank, after a severe battle with his illness for some time. And so we'll be having a funeral for him very shortly. Do we have a date for that yet? I haven't been told. Friday the 22nd, we'll be having his funeral mass. And so to be aware of that and to be conscious of praying for him and for her family as well. See what our Lord has to say to us in the gospel. Martha speaks up and says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me all by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Don't be an armchair quarterback. Do you know what it means to be an armchair quarterback? Don't be one. We'll get to that in just a moment. Let's rehash the gospel. In the gospel passage, what do we have here? We have Martha, who's there doing her thing. Jesus is just going to visit, right? He's going to Bethany so that he can have a rest with friends, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, his dear, dear friends. And we know about them all throughout the scriptures. They're weaved in here, ones that Jesus knows he can just have a good time and just relax when he's with them. And it's no wonder so, because what Martha does from the very beginning of our gospel right here, she says she's busy about serving, doing so many things that are going on. So she welcomes him in this profound way as Mary sits at his feet just listening to him. Listening to him speak, to impart the messages that he has to say just for her and those gathered. Martha, it says, was, quote, burdened with much serving. And so because of that, she approached Jesus and she lets loose and she says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister Mary is leaving me all by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." And what is the response that Jesus gives to this? He rebukes her, doesn't he? But gently. He gently rebukes her in this way, admonishing her. But when you hear that happening, don't be an armchair quarterback. Today, it's something that's really easy for you and me to do, to sit there and to be quick to criticize and condemn Martha, but if you and I do so, we're going to miss the point. This scripture passage here is written for you and I to get something out of it, not to sit here in judgment upon another person. Because the reality is that you and I are more often like Martha than we'd like to admit. More often than we realize it, we do the exact same thing that Martha does. Armchair quarterbacking, do you know what that is? Mr. Segura is shaking his head. He knows. To be an armchair quarterback is what? It's when you're out there on the sideline, sitting in the comfort of your sofa there and yelling at the TV saying, "Oh, we should have called this player. They should have done that. Or how did he blow the coverage that was right there?" It was so easy to do where we're in the comfort of our armchair. We don't have any stake in the game. And we know if we were out on that field, we would have missed that coverage way worse. And that's what we do often. Is to sit out there on the sideline and to criticize somebody. And the gospel is trying to remind you and me not to do that, not to get caught up in those sorts of things. Because armchair quarterbacking, within the context of the gospel, will get us to fall into the plague of self-deception. We deceive ourselves and we think that we don't often act just like Martha does within the gospel. Maybe we've got hospitality down and we know how to take care of people when they come to our houses and deal with them in exactly the right way that it should without becoming too frustrated with whatever's going on. Maybe you've got that skill. But even if you have that, there are tons of other ways where you and I take on the attitudes that are exactly identical to what Martha is doing here. Let me give you a common example. A modern day example is a Catholic who just goes through all the motions, who follows all the rules that we're supposed to do, understanding everything that the church teaches about the moral life and fulfilling it in that way. We think that we have everything together, but then we get upset when Jesus doesn't reward you and I the way that we think we should be rewarded for doing all those good things. It can sound something like this. A Catholic can say, look, I pray. I pray all the time. I do my rosary every single day. In fact, I lead my family in doing so. I make sure that I add the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, and I've got other novenas and devotions that I add to it. I go to Mass, just like I'm supposed to, every single Sunday. Every single Sunday to be able to do so. And I even try to come on Mondays when I'm free. Do I tithe? Boy, do I tithe. I give the full 10% that God asks for in Scripture of my income and realize that God's going to take care of the church through that. I make sure that whenever we have a fundraiser, whenever the Catholic Daughters are doing something, or anybody else, I contribute to that over and beyond and try to get other people to do so as well so that the full functioning of the church may go forward. I serve people. I give myself to lay myself at the service of others, whether it's at home or whether it's within my workplace, whether it's people that I meet on the street corner. I take care of the poor in so many ways. I follow all the rules. And in fact, when my family members fail to follow the rules, I remind them about it and try to help them to get there so that they too can be pleasing in the Lord's sight and find out the joy of what it means to live the real Catholic life. And even though I do all those things, still, Jesus doesn't answer my prayers. He's not doing what I want, when I want it, and how I want it. So why even bother? Jesus doesn't care about me. What our readings do is they point out this toxic attitude to you and me. So often we have this toxic attitude in our lives, and what the Scriptures want us to do is they want us to contrast what it is that Abraham is doing in the first reading and what Martha is doing within the Gospel. They want us to contrast the two. Oftentimes, the first reading and the second reading support one another in the same message. Well, here it's a contrast. And so when we contrast it, it's going to show you and I why it is that Jesus says, looking at Mary and says, sitting at my feet and just simply listening to me is the greater part, which will not be taken away from anybody who does it. We'll get to that a little bit later on. But the first reading, what do we see there? We see Abraham, who's all there by himself, sitting in the open area of his tent in Mamre, and it's incredibly hot. And in the midst of his suffering there, just standing in the breezeway so he can get a little bit of air moving in and out, what happens? All of a sudden, visitors approach at a distance, and when he sees them, he leaps up immediately, jumps to service, and the Scripture actually says he, as an old man, still runs, takes off toward these men so that he can catch them. And bowing down to them out of respect, even though he doesn't know exactly who they are, he says to him these words. He says, sir, if I may ask you for this favor, please don't go on past your servant here, but let some water be brought to you that I may bathe your feet, and then go ahead and rest under this tree. Let me bring you a little bit of food that you may refresh yourselves. And after waiting a moment for his guests to respond, the men reply, quote, very well. Do as you have said. Do you see the difference about what's going on there and what's going on in the gospel? Abraham does one. He asks the visitor, who is God, what do you want me to do? Here's what I want to do. Would that be good? And then he waited for the visitor to respond and then does what he responds once he gets the consent of the one who's his guest. Is that what Mary does? Is that what Martha does, rather? It's not, is it? Martha does what? She immediately springs into action, is going busy about all sorts of other things, running crazy around there to make things are going. She starts serving Jesus, whatever it is that she happens to have right there, and then goes about commanding him afterwards. Abraham asked God ahead of time, is this the way that you would like to be served, God? Is this what is pleasing to you, God? Let me give you a modern-day example of what Abraham might do in a certain situation just like this. Than I asked in a while. So that's for you, Miguel. If you were to go out and visit somebody and just go over to their house, somebody invited you into their presence. Yeah? Mike. We'll call you Mikey. Mike Jr. Yeah. If you were to go in a situation like that, somebody invited you over to your house, what would it be like if somebody were to come to you? You would appreciate it, right? If they said, hey, would you like to eat something? Would you like to drink something? Well, if you'd like to eat, here's what we have. What would you like? And anything you like, it's going to be all right with us. Wouldn't that make you feel great to be able to be served in that way? To be asked in that sort of way. But then what if that person who was serving you wanted you to choose something else, and when you didn't choose it, or when you said, I'm actually eaten fully well, I can't take anything else in here, if they were disappointed in you, and then just sort of humph afterwards, you wouldn't feel so good, would you? You wouldn't feel loved, you wouldn't feel appreciated as a guest. It's the same way. It's often like that too. I almost never experienced something like that as a priest, but it's something that sometimes happens, where people, when you even invite them as guests to you, and then you expect them to respond in a particular way to eat everything that is there, no matter what's going on, and you take offense if they don't. Well, it's the same thing that's going on here within the Scriptures, right there. It's a lack of courtesy. A courtesy is when you're asking what the guest would like, and then rather than expecting them to receive something. When the host makes you feel uncomfortable for not doing what the host expects, that's a lack of courtesy on the part of the host. This is exactly what Martha is doing within the gospel. It says, quote, Martha, burdened with many much serving, came to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not even care that my sister is there and has left me all by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me. Not only did Martha complain, which is not the best thing, right? Complaining about her sister, but she also accused Jesus, saying, you don't care about me. You don't even care. You're indifferent to what's going on. She accuses Jesus in this way. And then she commands Jesus, do this. You must do this. Is that a respectful thing to do a guest who's trying to have rest and repose in your place? The bottom line is this. Three words that can help you and me to understand what's going on in all of our readings. Abraham proposed, Martha imposed, and Mary reposed. I'll say that again. Abraham proposed, Martha imposed, and Mary reposed. Those prefixes mean a great difference. Proposing is what? It means for, on behalf of. So that's when you go before somebody and ask them, is this what you'd like me to do? That's what Abraham did. Imposing is like, is against. Being in a position against the person. So that's what she does. She imposes on Jesus and then makes her impositions there against him. This is what you got to do. This is what you have to take care of. And what Mary does is she just reposes, which means to position herself once again at his feet, to rest and accept whatever it is that he wants to do. Mary's decision there to repose at his feet and listen was the better part. Why is that the better part? It's the difference between listening to Jesus and asking him what it is that he might want to do in a situation, and imposing our desires on Jesus, and then resenting him for not bending completely and perfectly to what our will is. Here's another consideration to take into the gospel. Our world today is dominated by so many things, by so many distractions, phones and social media beeping at us all the time. Our scripture translation that we have here in English says, Martha is burdened with much serving. Well, if you look at another translation that's more literal, the RSVCE, Catholic Edition, Revised Standard Version, you'll find it uses a different word. It says, Martha was distracted with much serving. That word distracted more accurately depicts what was going on with her. When I became a priest, right after my ordination, in fact, one thing that I did was I gave up Facebook. That's why you don't see me doing much on there. You can probably number the number of posts I did in a single hand to be able to do so since I've been ordained. And what I discovered from that is being free from social media has made me a better person, made me a better priest. It's made me be able to pray better. Why can I pray better? It's because what social media does to you and me is it trains us to be constantly distracted, to be unable to concentrate for more than a few seconds before another distraction pops up, another text, another email, another push notification is sent to our phone, another electronic affirmation or like hits us. This constant use of smartphones and social media makes it nearly impossible for us to get our brains into a place to focus on anything of substance for any extended period of time. How many of you struggle with prayer? Struggle with distractions in prayer? Struggle with concentration in prayer? Not too many of you are raising your hands, but you should be. I do too. The reason why is probably because the way you spend the rest of your time, focused on being trained by the social media and spending so much time on our phones, which is constantly beeping with a million distractions. This constant activity makes it difficult, if not entirely impossible, for you and I to be able to really hear God's voice. The constant activity there makes it hard for us to be able to listen to what God is saying to us, and he speaks to you and I through silent moments. Which is one of the things that makes me sorry for a lot of our children, our kids, whose parents overload their calendars with so many things, event after event after event. When I was in Los Alamos as a youth minister, I saw this in a crushingly difficult way for the kids. The constant stream of sports and activities, extracurriculars that they have, mean that the kids never get a chance just to be kids, never get a chance to just go out and free play, never have the opportunity to really allow themselves to enter into a good sense of boredom, to use their imagination, let alone to have that unstructured, silent time to realize that God is important and to reach out to God in prayer. We need boredom in that way, so that our minds can be at rest and then realize that we're not made for the distractions that so easily come upon here. But the real reward is found in communication with God. The excessive activity trap applies even to us when we're working for God. For example, when people come up to me and tell me, Father, I'm sorry, but I've missed Mass. I missed Mass this past Sunday because I was working at a parish event, or because I had a fiesta that I was planning for, or because I had some sort of thing with the Catholic Daughters or whatever else was going on that kept me from being able to come to Mass, but I was there and praying outside on my own, so I'm good, right? We're going to get to that, why that's not good. Think about that for a second. What good is it to learn about God? What good is it to give ourselves in a supposed service to the good of the church, serving God, convincing him in that way, but not to spend time with him at Mass, which is his greatest gift to us? Not to do it on his day, which is Sunday, the Lord's day. To do exactly what it is that Jesus asks you and me to do on that particular day, which is nothing but going to Mass. Luke chapter 6 speaks of it this way, 6:46 through 49, the words of Jesus. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what it is that I tell you to do? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation upon solid rock. And when the flood arose and the stream broke against that house, it would not shake it, because it had been well built upon a rock. But he who hears my words and does not do them, he is like a man who has built his house upon the ground without a solid foundation, against which the rains came down and the floods broke up against it, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Those are the words of the Lord. Again, if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 15 or Matthew chapter 9, you'll see our Lord speaking these words. He says, "Obedience is better than sacrifice. Submission to my ways is better than the offering of fat rams. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God in himself, rather than the offering of burnt sacrifices." So what is our Lord saying here? He's reminding you and me that any activity you do, no matter how great or important it may be, no matter what service it may render in there, including a church event, including something that helps our Catholic organizations go forward, that keeps you and I from sitting at the Lord's feet on Sunday during Mass and listening to him, is worthy of the exact same rebuke that Martha receives in her self-serving service to Jesus. It's no different. In the second reading from St. Paul in Colossians, we hear him say these words. He tells us, "God's stewardship," or God's service, "is given to me to bring to completion for you the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and generations past, but now it has been revealed to his holy ones." And so how is this message of God being revealed to God's holy ones? It's revealed to God's holy ones, which is all of you, by sitting and listening at his feet. That's how it's revealed to you and me. Just simply by sitting at God's feet and listening to him. By listening to that still, small voice of God, which is spoken in the quiet intimacy of our hearts. We can only hear God's voice if we choose that better part, which is to sit with him and just listen at his feet, to resist that temptation of doing things our way and expecting the Lord to conform his desires to our desires when we desire them. Again, remember Abraham. Remember Abraham within that first reading. Abraham served the Lord according to whatever it is that the Lord desired. He knew what to do because he first asked the Lord, "What do you want of me? I've got this in plan. Is that what you want? If so, I'll do it." And because he waited on the Lord, because he asked the Lord, God surprised him with an incredibly great gift, an even greater gift than he was able to give to him. In fact, it's a miraculous gift. Follow the rest of that passage. You'll see immediately after this encounter, he is given the promise of a child, of a son, of an heir that fulfilled the promise that God had made to him, that this son would make him into a great nation. If you want to hear God's voice, if you want to receive blessings of God in your life, then all you and I have to do is to do what Mary did, to do what Abraham did there. We have to stop, sit at the Lord's feet, and just dispose ourselves to listen to him. Take repose with the Lord, most especially in his real presence in the Blessed Sacrament. To listen to him when we come here each and every Sunday at Mass, and as often as possible during the week when we can get away to come and rest here with the Blessed Sacrament. It doesn't matter whether you're alone with the tabernacle or whether you're here on Mondays when we have that hour-long of adoration with our Lord exposed here. The same Jesus is there, rest at his feet. I know that there are not a few people who have asked me for permission to be able to sneak into the church throughout the week just so they could be here alone with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. If you want that, we'll make an opportunity for you to be able to be here alone with Christ. He's here waiting for you. And if we habitually choose that better part of being alone with him, then God will give us his best part. And what is the best part that God wishes to give to everyone who he's called in his name? It's the fulfillment of our deepest desires, the deepest desires of our own heart, a unique tailor-made desire which he has put in each and every one of us from our very beginning, the fulfillment of which always brings you and I a lasting joy beyond this moment of sorrow into that which knows no end. The scripture speaks about it this way. It says, "Eye has not seen, nor has ear even heard, nor has even dawned upon the mind of any man what God has prepared for those who love him." That's the gift, the best part, which is reserved for you and me when we place our trust in him and sit at his feet listening. That's the reward of heaven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.